It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mackenzie Bobine, who is with the U.S. Grains Council. So good to see you.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
So I want to make sure I get the title right. Director of Global Ethanol Export Development.
Correct.
You went, it's a good thing you don't put that on the back of a t-shirt where they charge you by the letter, but what's that really mean when you break it down?
Essentially, I think here at the U.S. Grains Council, you know, we are at the front end of being that advocate for ethanol exports within the global community. So we have a great domestic partnership, right, with so many of the domestic bioethanol entities, Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, and all the various plants as well. So when they're looking, right, for export opportunities outside of our borders, this is where we have the resources. We have the on-the-ground representatives, and we're going out, we're telling your story, and we're creating markets, but also maintaining markets that we've already had access to.
What about your background? What prepared you to step into this role? Did you grow up in ag?
That is a great question. Yes, I would say very personal to me. So yeah, I grew up on a fifth generation family farm in southern Minnesota, actually, and then started my career in the biofuel space. So very first job right out of college was with the Minnesota Biofuels Association, where again, I think, you know, it's something where even growing up, you know, I would deliver corn to the local ethanol plant, you know, and it's something where it was made so tangible, like once I entered my professional career. So now I've been in biofuels for over 10 years now, in a wide variety of positions, but first time really on the export side and just so passionate about where we can go, you know, all the various boxes that our product hits, whether environmental, whether economic, whether national security based. It's almost like, what size t-shirt can we get you today? Right, with our various international partners, and so we have a great story to tell. I always love telling it, and we're really on the front lines of that.
Well, when we talk about those export markets, what are the top export markets for U.S. ethanol?
Yeah, and it's really transitioned over the years, I would say, too. But currently, as we stand for this marketing year, Canada, of course, is the bright shining star, right? So Canada remains our top export markets for bioethanol. It's been historically a very consistent market, I would say, for us. I mean, it's reliable. There's a lot of trade synergy, right, just having the border there. But recently, Canada last year implemented its clean fuel regulation. So this is something where they're anticipating, again, rewarding and decarbonizing their transportation space through the increase of consumption of renewable fuels, which, of course, includes bioethanol and other components. So they anticipate, as a result of now this new program, they're going to hit a 15% ethanol blend by 2030. And we've really seen that playing out actually within the export. So they're averaging anywhere from 40 to 50 million gallons every month. They're on track to maybe hit 700 million gallons this year. So very, very easily could see a billion gallon market potential within the near term.
So do you look at those markets in, let's say, tiers, like a tier group of tier one markets, tier two markets, tier three?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big world out there, right? So, I mean, almost unlimited potential. And so we have to be very careful and strategic, right, with like how we utilize our resources. So we really try and look at almost like a like effort versus time chart, and then how big potential markets are to see how we should go after them and where we should put pressure or apply opportunities. So for us, you know, we have a kind of tier one markets that we're focusing on this year. They could change, of course, given geopolitical environments, right? So just a couple years ago, Mexico and China were tier one markets, but they've kind of moved lower down now within tier two, just because, again, we kind of see some hurdles that are almost insurmountable in certain respects. But really excited about our tier one markets. So this year, we actually just moved up South Korea to a tier one market, as well as the European Union and the UK. So as we we sit now when we're talking about our export markets, the European Union is now our second largest market. So a relatively new market for us, I would say, too, only within the last like 5 years, but consistent year-over-year growth, record numbers last year, record numbers the year before, and they're on track to hit another record year. So we're seeing has more member states and just countries globally in general that are recognizing, right, ethanol has this viable decarbonization solution. So they're putting forth, right, like an E5 standard or an E10 standard or even looking at E15, E20 higher. So we're there to say, hey, you know, the United States has had this implemented really since 2008. We're by far the largest producer. We're the largest consumer. So let's learn from our best practices. Let's maybe learn from maybe missteps that we took, etc. But look at what we're doing here on infrastructure and feasibility, on low carbon fuel standard creation, on, you know, even like new best practices that are either coming on the farm level or what's going on with plant technology. And let's now broaden that and see how we can develop it for like your specific country initiatives.
So we've talked about the shining stars, if you will, but I would imagine there are some challenges that exist for opening up markets. You mentioned Mexico and China had been kind of tier one and had kind of worked their way down. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing around the world?
Yeah, I would say probably one of the always the biggest, hindrances to like market penetration would always be like a tariff barrier, right? And this is something where U.S. Grains Council has very little control, right, over like affecting tariffs. Certainly, we have great partners within the U.S. government, with the USTR, with the Foreign Ag Service, and we work hand in hand with them on identifying market opportunities and like a sharing of resources. But tariff barriers are hard to overcome, right? So, I mean, we are, without a doubt, right, one of the cheapest octane sources on the planet, and we happen to be renewable at the same time. But even though we do have that cost advantage, when you add like a 30% tariff, when you add, you know, even like a 15-20 cent tariff, etc., whether percentage based or whether cent based, sometimes erodes those economic advantages that we have, that maybe makes us less, you know, incentivized for a certain country that's looking at it. So those are always difficult to overcome, but not every country has that, right? So again, going back to that effort versus time chart, what are the low-hanging fruits? What countries can we do now? And then maybe allocating resources down the line for some of those other countries that, again, are big whales, right? Are billion-gallon markets, but they have a 30% tariff, but, you know, maybe we'll tackle that down the line.
Well, you may have already answered the question. I hope not. Looking into the crystal ball, maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's five, maybe it's 10, or just one of those moonshots. But when you start looking at the future, what are you excited about?
I just feel like there's so much momentum going on, right? So this is where, you know, almost 70 countries now globally have identified specifically bioethanol has a tool or a tactic to meet their Paris climate goals. So this is something where, you know, it's becoming more widely recognized and widely touted in their international community, right, to like decarbonize their road transport. So it's going to take an all-above approach, right? We're all trying to reach net zero, but we are one of the probably like most easily implementable and then like cost-effective solutions that's out there right now. So as more countries are seeing other stories success, right, not just from the United States, but what's going on with Canada, what's going on with certain European member states, what's going on with certain Southeast Asia countries, right, it becomes like a broader, bigger like party, right, about every different country that is pursuing these initiatives. So again, each country is different in their approach, but we like that so many are now pursuing bioethanol, right? Has the solution.
All right, final one for you. What do you want producers to know about the U.S. Grains Council and the work you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I would just say, again, we are out there. We are moving and grooving. We have, so many on-the-ground experts that are really working and advocating for your product. So again, it's a multifaceted, really robust product that we have. And so we're always looking, I think, to our domestic partners to give us the tools that we need, right, to like advocate for your story. So we are only as good as our information. We're only as good as like what the most, you know, recent up-to-date, you know, products or technologies are. So let us know, reach out to us, like help us help you so that we can go out and really bear that standard that we have.
Well, if you want to learn more about the U.S. Grains Council, you can actually do it online, grains.org, and you'll find everything to do with the U.S. Grains Council. Mackenzie, thanks for your time. Will you come back and see us?
I sure will. Thanks, Tony.
This is the Agribusiness Report.